Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Now, all politicians are selective with the truth they tell. You might view this as a debating strategy. You might view it as straight out lying. Well, a court in Britain may have to decide. A lawyer by the name of Marcus Bell has collected a legal team with a view to prosecuting the former British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. Their argument is that he's guilty of misconduct of public office by knowingly telling lies during the Brexit campaign. Marcus, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, could you explain the legal position here? Is this a private prosecution that you're taking, or is it some sort of civil case you're taking against Boris Johnson?
Of course, yes. It's a private criminal prosecution case. So in the UK, you can prosecute somebody as an individual or an organisation based upon the Prosecution of Offences Act 1985. So traditionally, you go through the public route. You get the CPS and the police to prosecute on your behalf. But here in the UK, you can prosecute privately.
And the offence that you're alleging is misconduct in public office. That sounds fairly broad.
Misconduct in public office is a common law offence. It's a criminal offence with a maximum sentence of life imprisonment attached to it. It's only used against public office holders who have done something which has abused public trust in a very serious manner. It can't be used against anybody who isn't a public office holder. To some extent, it's broad in that it covers all public office holders, but on the contrary, it's limited in that it, such as you or me, we couldn't be prosecuted for that offence.
Yeah, it has been used before, though. As far as I understand, not against a politician as senior as Boris Johnson.
In Australia, actually, it's been used against two members of parliament in the recent cases of Beard and McDonnell. They were both completed in 2018 successfully. The appeals also failed. So both of those members of parliament were both prosecuted successfully for the offence. In the UK, in terms of elected representatives, there was a local councillor in the Speechley case who was prosecuted for the offence. But nobody as senior as Mr. Johnson, no.
Yeah. And so in that prosecution that took place against the councillor, what had the councillor done?
Okay, so in very, very basic terms, the councillor in question owned a plot of land. He was part of a decision-making process with the council for realigning a road, and the road could have added value to his plot of land, depending upon where it was put. Mm-hmm. He campaigned for the positioning of the road in a certain place, which would impact the value of his property. But he was dishonest in terms of how he revealed that he owned that plot of land. So, in effect, he was prosecuted for misconduct in public office and found guilty and given an 18-month prison sentence because he was dishonest concerning his own pecuniary interests.
Right. Okay. So, it's an obvious case where he should have recused himself from making that decision because he was set to potentially benefit from it. Is the same premises at work there in terms of the prosecution of Boris Johnson? Is it about him personally gaining from something?
No, actually, it's not. I think a better case to mention would be the Wallace case of 2012. This concerned a police officer who was connected to the Plebgate affair. So I'm sure you remember there was an incident in which an MP was accused of calling a police officer a pleb outside Downing Street in London, and it would cause quite a big upset here. Essentially, this police officer who worked with a colleague who was apparently called that offensive word, whilst he was off duty, he sent an email to his own MP claiming to be somebody he wasn't, just a normal member of the public. And he lied and he stated that he had heard the MP in question use the offensive remark. He was then dishonest in subsequent emails and in a discussion as well. So long story short, this police officer was prosecuted for the misconduct in public office offence and given a 1-year prison sentence because he lied in relation to an important duty of his. And that's a better comparison to make in terms of our own case. So our allegation, and it's really, really important to understand that we're alleging this, we're accusing Mr. Johnson of committing this offence, and only the courts themselves can decide upon innocence and guilt. And I would encourage anyone who talks about this case publicly to remember those points at all times.
Yes.
But what we're accusing Mr. Johnson of doing is making knowingly false statements concerning how much money the UK spends on EU membership each week and each year. So as examples, Mr. Johnson claimed that we spend, send or pay £350 million every week to the EU. And also another favourite of his was that we spend £20 billion a year on EU membership. We're accusing Mr. Johnson of knowing that these numbers are incorrect, yet using them on a repeated basis anyway.
Right. Making a statement that's incorrect, I suppose, is one thing. Proving that he knew it was incorrect, or that his interpretation of it he knew was a false interpretation. How do you go about proving that?
Yes, that's been one of the focuses of our work. And of course, only the courts can decide upon an answer to that question. But to give you an outline, if you like, of the route that we may take when we argue this point, I'm going to give you some examples of some claims that he's used during 2016. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on the 28th of February 2016, in a Telegraph op-ed he wrote, he said, it is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to energise our democracy, cut bureaucracy, save £8 billion a year. So remember that point. He's claimed it will save us £8 billion a year. On the 29th of February, so just the following day, on a trip to Northern Ireland, he stated, so as I say, we save £350 million a week, which can be spent in places like Northern Ireland. So just to begin, if we compare those two dates, the 28th of February 2016 and the 29th of February 2016, he switched from save £8 billion a year to save £350 million a week, which adds up to £18.2 billion a year. If you go forward a few more days to the 3rd of March, same year, he says this in a Sun article, it is time to take back control of our money, the £8.5 billion a year we send to Brussels and never see again. And on the 16th of March, in a Telegraph article, he uses the figure of £12.9 billion a year. The 16th of April, a club that costs us £20 billion a year, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
As the dates go forward, as time moves forward, the amounts of money that he's claiming that we spend or save, they change very dramatically to the tune of billions of pounds a year.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a particularly interesting quote that may be of interest to your listeners, I would draw attention to an interview in the Battle Bus, which took place in Cornwall in 2016, in which he stated the following. If you take out the abatement and the money that comes back via Brussels, the figure, and he's referring to the figure on the bus, is obviously lower. And what he's stating is he's answering a question from the interviewer in which he's asked whether or not it really is £350 million a week that we send. And he uses the language of is obviously lower. Now, we can't make conclusions on the same level as a court can, but those quotes and those dates, I think, might be of interest to your listeners.
Yeah. Those quotes, though, might add up to proving that Boris Johnson is an idiot, which isn't an indictable offence.
I think given in the wider context of the other evidence that we have and the argument that we intend to make, some information that we can't discuss publicly and a few other points, that would be not an argument that would be very successful. However, again, I'd have to be very careful about using words such as idiot when describing
I wasn't trying to put words in your mouth, but some listeners may have come to that conclusion already. I suppose the question to be asked is, all politicians lie or massage facts. Why Boris Johnson specifically?
So I think there's two points there. First of all, I don't accept that we as a society, as a country, as people in general, should accept that politicians lie. I think that it's become something which is so commonplace that people just consider it to be normal, and I completely disagree. If a company director lies to shareholders, they can be prosecuted. If we lie to the police about an ongoing investigation, we can be prosecuted. If we lie in court, we can be prosecuted. If a service provider or the provider of a product lies about it, what it contains, what service they can actually provide, if they lie about the ingredients of a food product, for example, They can be sued. They can be prosecuted for various different offences. In my opinion, this is just an extension of the common sense and existing law which we already have. If somebody who is in a very senior position of public trust repeatedly states something which they believe isn't true concerning something as vitally important as public spending figures, that person is committing an offence. That's my belief, and that's what I think we should stand up for. I think the second question would be, why Mr. Johnson in particular? So first of all, Mr. Johnson was a particularly effective campaigner because he had such wide-ranging media interest. Cameramen followed him around, journalists were keen on interviewing him, and that made him very effective in terms of reaching large numbers of voters. But unfortunately for Mr. Johnson, it also provided us with an enormous amount of evidence which we can use, because as a journalist, I'm sure you'll know, there are a great many archives which store video and audio footage, which is quite readily available. So we've reviewed that footage, and that's really helped us to build our case. So the first reason why we chose him is simply a matter of evidentiary sufficiency. There's more evidence against him than against other potential people of interest. And the second key point to cover is that because the offence is misconduct in public office, the person we prosecute must be a public office holder. And as Mr. Johnson was the Mayor of London, as well as being a Member of Parliament for the vast majority of the time of interest to our case, he held two very senior positions of public trust, and that's why we've chosen him.
I assume this is going to be a very expensive case to run. How much do you estimate it's going to cost you, if it gets that far?
The financial costs of this case are a great stress. For me, that my key job now that we've completed all the case, what we need to do is raising the funding for this. This is going to cost an enormous amount of money. So far, I've raised, I think, about £325,000 as of today in total across four separate crowd funds over the last 2.5 years. The estimated total cost for everything, the total financial resources we think we'll need, is about £2 million. On top of the original $200,000 we raised before. So you're looking at a very considerable amount of money. And trust me, I'm incredibly unhappy about how much money it costs us to get justice for something we believe is so important to society. But the reality is that we just have to accept it, because you can't change the way politics works whilst at the same time changing the way the law works. It's just a reality of the industry, and yes, it's far too expensive, in my opinion.
And in terms of the process now, have you lodged papers with the court, or when are you going? Or if not, when are you going to do that? When do you expect the various things to take place?
So my legal team, who are led by Lewis Powell QC, who are excellent, by the way, who I'm very, very happy with, they have informed Mr. Johnson. They've written to him to inform him that we intend to bring a prosecution case against him. We've given him a certain amount of time in which to respond, to notify us of any information that he needs us to be aware of before we continue. We're awaiting his response. And if he fails to respond, or if he, depending upon the nature of his response, we plan to be going to lay an information at the Magistrates Court in mid-January. That's the plan. However, as I'm sure anyone listening who has been involved in legal cases will know, these things tend to be unpredictable in terms of dates, and they tend to drag on. So I wouldn't be 100% certain about that date, but that's my intention at present.
It'll be a very interesting one to keep an eye on. Marcus Ball, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.